But make it your own. And then tread very, very lightly on this prime bet stuff. I learned to do it sort of by observing Tom Brohammer. But it wasn't until I stopped observing Tom Brohammer and started observing Dick Schmidt that I really could pull it off. When you're ready to do it, you'll probably know. Because in the first place, you'll have at least a year under your belt of consistent winnings. You'll have 30 or 40, 20 race cycles where you have won. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. And now, to wind things up, the man of the hour, the guru himself.
Are you drinking again?
Can I hit my mark or what? 20 seconds short. Hey, wait a minute, I got 20 seconds. You don't touch my mic. Here you go. All right. Thank you very much.
I promised Howard Schwartz, the Gamblers Book Club, that I'd make this announcement again. A lot of you know that there are a lot of good books out, some of which have been written by Tom Brohammer and us and other people. And he'll give you 10% off of any book if you want to get any book on the subject or any other subject. If you'll just use my middle name, the code word is Garland, like in Judy. So just remember that name. It's at 11th and Charleston, so he'll give you 10% off any book. Now, Robert Anthony's book, Betting on Yourself, in which he has a chapter on me and Wynn Therapy, is his best-selling book right now. It's selling for $7.95, so it really didn't cost much. But he'll give it to you for $7 if you haven't got that book, Betting on Yourself. Sometimes I can write all that stuff, and you say, I know him. But some outside expert writes and says, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Our own people have a tendency to believe it more if it comes from somebody else than if it comes from me. So if you need to have me condensed by a famous man, you can give him $7 and he'll give you that book. It's their bestseller right now. It was written up in Sports Farm, was that giveaway that you get at all the books and gambling casinos here. So if you want Anthony's book, it might inspire you. And he also tells you, after the chapter on me, he tells you how to build a winning life script. In case any of you have a losing life script, if you were taught subconsciously that gambling is evil and all gamblers lose, if you don't have that winning script, if you want to rewrite your life script to be a winner, it's highly simplified. He's a pop psychologist. But you'd be surprised how many people read pop psychology and benefit from it. All the great psychologists of our age became very famous, but most of them never cured anybody. Freud never cured anybody in his entire career. Did you know that? Huh?
Not even himself.
Hey, what do you want? What's wrong with us? But most of these great people, they never cured anybody. They just worked at it. But sometimes these pop psychologists with this quick stuff, they will affect something in your life, something they say or some affirmation that they get you to make for yourself will make you change your life. I will promise you one thing before we leave. I know a lot of you are skeptical about this. A lot of you say, psychologists, they all say this. But everybody who has ever come to my office and had what Bradshaw calls a couch session, which we don't really have a couch, we have a couple of easy chairs, who has gone into therapy, and I don't mean deep therapy where you tell me all your pains and ills and how your mother beat you, your father did this, but whatever, a therapy session in which we examine your true feelings, where there's no hostility, where you're dealing with a therapist and not with a guy who's trying to peddle you a method or some programs, when you open up. These people have gone on to win. How many of you, I won't ask you because that's private, but I know a lot of you are nodding, who have taken the time to come to Beaumont or who live far away, who've taken 10, 15, 20-minute sessions on the telephone. We have been able to change your mental outlook, and that's all this really is, folks. The only difference between a winner and a non-winner is up here. It's in the attitude. It's in how you perceive things. I know a lot of you, when you leave, you say, so-and-so said something, or you misread, or you read the yellow manual and said it was difficult to understand. This is in your perception. There's nothing difficult about what we put out. The difficulty is that you put a barrier between yourself and you don't read the words as we wrote them, you read them as you want to perceive them. This is called contamination. All persons who are not winning when they want to be winners are contaminated, and they're self-contaminated. If this is your chosen field, if you choose, you say, I really choose to be a winner at the races, that is your goal, then why would you put up barriers to being a winner? Why would you put up obstacles? Why would you put mythical delusions that are totally untrue in the way of being wanting to be a winner? Because you truly do not want to be a winner. How many of you think you truly want to be a winner? Truly want to be a winner? How many of you are willing, in order to be a winner, to dedicate yourself to that, but at the same time are willing to discount, to wash away, to decontaminate your mind from all those things which are keeping you from being a winner? And they can be, I'm too old to learn, or you can't teach an old dog new tricks, or I believe this, you have false beliefs. If they're standing in the way of being a winner, don't feel that you're giving up something good. Give up the contamination. Everybody I know who is winning in this organization had some of the misconceptions that all horse players had. We're led down the garden path by mythical thought. Everyone who was willing to say, I want to be a winner more than I want to have my opinion, has become a winner. Just saying you want to be a winner will not get it. You have to open up, either to me or to yourself, and you have to examine what you think, what your attitudes are, what your true beliefs are. What are you willing to give up to be a winner? You have to give up some precious, mythical, improper attitudes, improper notions that are keeping you from being a winner. Now, how many of you want to be a winner but are not willing to give up all you think you know that's keeping you from winning? Nobody will raise their hand to that, but I think some of you are thinking, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to give up point A or point B or point C. I know that those jockeys and trainers get together and fix those races. I'll go on with starting on that, but I won't ever give that up. Or I won't ever give up the fact that they got a big lump in the third post in my track and it never wins any races. I won't give up this or I won't give up that. And you keep putting barriers between yourself and winning. Folks, you have got to decontaminate yourself. You've got to want to win so much. Not because it makes you a lot of money or it's an easy way to get by. You've got to want the success that you claim you want. And you have to be willing to do the work. Okay, tonight we set the stage. Tonight we've given you concept. We hope we've given you some motivation to face tomorrow, willing to really get in there and pitch in. And as we sit out here, you'll have these races. Express yourself. Let it be known what you think about those races. Let it be known what you would do. Don't hold back. Group participation. Everybody get in with it tomorrow. We will lead, but we will not tell you that you're incorrect. We will try to explain what we're doing in these races. We will try to have you come to the point of view that caused us to win these races. But we need your feedback. We need your attitude. By knowing how you feel about these races we're going to do tomorrow, we may be able to correct some flaws in your thinking, or we may be able to bring out some of the brilliance that you all have in you too, that you've been hiding under a bushel. So let's join in tomorrow, a real group session. We'll start at 9 o'clock, and we're really going to go to work tomorrow, so be ready. Thank you. Good night. You've all got your small manual. Some, they mistakenly passed out some of the larger ones. Don't open it because you'll spoil the whole fun of this session. To give you some idea of our schedule today, a lot of you wanted to be able to get up and watch the Belmont Stakes at 2:30. Spencer has arranged for the sports emporium over here. You told me you'd arrange it, Spencer. Spencer is arranging for the little place over here to turn on their two TV sets for the Belmont. We assume that Spencer's influence will be sufficient to bring that to fruition. If not, run like hell for your hotel rooms. We will break at 1:30 for lunch. This means that we will not have to come in and go back and watch the Belmont. We'll break at 1:30. I know a lot of you have this metabolism We had one fellow in Maryland who, I can't wait. I have to eat three times a day, and I always eat at 7, 11, and 6. And I said, tough, kid. Buy yourself a cracker. And he was moaning about that for all things. So if you have one of these delicate metabolisms that require food in a given period, go buy some crackers, because we're going to break it at 1:30. And that'll give you an hour and a half. An hour to eat and a half hour for the Belmont. And if it doesn't run too slow, that'll take care of it. This morning, I'm going to start off with a letter here. And the gentleman who wrote it is back there sitting next to Glenn Connolly, and he's allowed us to use his name and allow you to talk to him. When I started in this, trying to be a winning handicapper, the biggest problem I had was, is anybody really doing it? And you have all the great illusions and the great aspirations of the world, but until you really meet someone who's doing it and doing it regularly, you always wonder if it isn't just kind of a mirage or a con game or something. Well, the man I met was named Sam Sedgwick. He's dead now. I met him down in Mexicali, Mexico, and he was winning regularly, and I knew it could be done. And so we got together, and we used, I had one of those TR-59s, those little programmable calculators, and he had this magnificent ability to pick the right horses and the right face lines, and I'd put them to the thing, and he would make the bets. He'd say, Howard, give me $85, and he'd make these round-robin parlays, and we'd always win a lot of money at the end of the day. Sam died, but Sam taught me the one lesson that everyone needs to know, that someone can do it, and you can meet him in the flesh. The reason I want to read this, I read the one letter last night from a man who's here, and I want to read this one, because this man came to us exactly a year ago in Las Vegas in a very crowded room. A hotel across down the street somewhere had promised us a room large enough for everybody, but they had a wedding reception or something. They paid them more, so they stuffed us into a very crowded room. And this gentleman was, because he's a lawyer, he didn't trust anybody. And if you understand that lawyers have a good right not to trust anybody. And he was very skeptical of this whole thing. And so I said, hey, look, don't buy anything. Just sit and listen. If you don't, you know, don't come asking me. I'm not going to try to sell you anything. So he was skeptical, and he talked to people, and he had that look on his face. You know that, how lawyers get to intimidate you? That was 1 year ago. And he didn't know whether it could be done, and he didn't know whether he was in a room full of con artists and whether everybody was a shill or whether anybody was real. And so 1 year later, I get this letter from him. Dear Doc, I'm willing to wager that your mail is overflowing with overdue thermation reports from clients who are going to attend the Las Vegas seminar, where I am one of the offenders. Please find and close 4 20-race cycle reports covering January 31st, 1992 through May 16th, 1992. I know you are busy, so I'll keep this summary short. In a nutshell, the first 20-race cycle enclosed reveals a 50% win rate betting the auto-adjust thermation 1 and 2 horses. The second and third 20-race cycle shows a 65% win rate betting the auto-adjust thermation 1 and 2 horses. The last 20-race cycle enclosed shows an 85% win rate betting the auto-adjust thermation 1 and 2 horses. Although other thermation ratings showed greater win percentages periodically, only the auto-adjust thermation 1 and 2 horse methodology showed consistent win rates in excess of 60%. In closing, let me repeat, my most recent 20-race cycle shows an amazing 85% win rate. I wish I could get that. Almost evenly divided between the thermation 1 and thermation 2 horses. Previously, most of my winners were coming from the thermation 1 position. Winners from the thermation 2 position tend to pay higher mutuals. In addition to winning more races, my average mutual is up also. This is ample evidence of the need of a two-horse betting methodology. Thank you for making me a winner. The gentleman is in the back of the room, Mr. Arthur Cameron. No, he's not a shill. He's a high-powered Washington lobbyist. I couldn't afford to hire him as a shill. You don't know those guys. One more note of interest before we get to the nitty-gritty here is that this is something they give away in Los Angeles. They don't give it away here for some reason. I think they don't belong to the right syndicate. But at every book you'll go to, in every other hotel you go to, you will find this being given away. Apropos of our telling you about the special
that they're offering at the Gambler's Book Club. If anybody mentions my middle name, we'll get 10% off on anything, but they'll get over 20% off on the book that they say is the hottest seller right now. And here's how it reads. This is, I'm doing like the storybook man here. You know, we can read everything. We'll go to the funny papers tomorrow morning. It says, betting on yourself red hot at GBC, chip, check, token guide, newcomer. This makes Brohammer and Hamilton and Schmidt feel bad because their book was number one until this one came on. Dr. Robert Anthony's Betting on Yourself, $7.95, paperback, $150. They'll sell to you for $7, incidentally. That's the special discount. Has become the number one hot seller at Gambler's Book Club for 1992. Betting on Yourself will make you feel better. It is a think positive book with 13 chapters and one fascinating yet controversial chapter which says compulsive or pathological gambling are not addicted to gambling, but rather they are addicted to losing. The author, a psychologist, agrees with Dr. Howard Sartin, founder of the Inland Empire in Sonoma, California, and author of several books, including co-authoring Pace Makes the Race, that the gambler's true pathology is not gambling, but losing. This is characterized by the gambler's inability to distinguish between positive and non-positive or negative expectancy events. Gamblers live in a fantasy world wherein they continue to visualize the big score without evaluating through knowledge of the odds and probabilities their actual chances of success. Simply put, Dr. Anthony and Dr. Sartin both see the cures for losing as winning. Needless to say, the theory has the American Psychiatric Association upset. Yes, sir. Very upset. Since they take the opposite role to the treatment of problem gamblers. So, the book is, he bought them all up out of Berkeley Books. He bought up all their back stocks. So if you want to read the same thing you get from us from a different authoritative source, if it makes you feel better, you can get it for $7. Or else just take our word for it. Save $7. I bought a lot of copies because it's got my name in it. It's one thing to have your name in Brohammer's book and it sells, you know, 10,000, 12,000. Having your own book sells 10 or 12,000, but this guy sells 500,000 copies. Wow. I'll become a megalomaniac like Schmidt and Hamilton here pretty quick. All right. Now we go to work. I'll start the ball rolling just to set the tone for it. Shane's going to be my point man. And since he's younger and got stronger legs than I, he'll probably be the point man for on everybody today. And here's what I mean by a point man. He's got a microphone over here that has no cord on it, has a battery. When you have a question you want to ask about anything we do here, should I move over so that screen will... You might, if you have difficulty seeing the screen, you can get up, stand around, crowd around, don't feel bound by your geography.
We are going to have the Belmont over there at the sports.
Spencer did as he promised. He's arranged for them to show the Belmont on those big television sets right across the hall. Why didn't you just arrange to have him move the book in here and we wouldn't have to go anywhere?
He wanted to know what to do with the Sartin methodology.
He did, huh?
Yeah. He's going to come by and visit.
Oh, good. Well, you invite all your friends. Anybody here actually didn't come because Spencer invited you out of off the street? The object of this exercise, each one of these gentlemen has picked a race. I want you to meet Dick Resch. How many of you know Dick? Stand up, Dick. Dick couldn't make it last night for the introduction of teachers. But Dick Resch is our teaching member from Northern California. He lives in Carmichael, but he takes in the whole Bay Area. So any of you people in the Bay Area who feel that you're neglected, Dick will give you his phone number and be glad to work with you. He's a terrific teacher, and he's got a race in here, too. We are going to turn. You read all this blurbs that I wrote in here. The first race in here is the 10th race. I only put the 10th race in here to show you the one race of the day at New Orleans that day that did not run early. The rest of them ran early. Now, Bradshaw, you here, Jimmy? Good. Bradshaw has a unique ability he doesn't have to profile or model a track. He can match up and tell you whether that race is going to run early or sustained. None of the rest of us can do it to that degree.
So the rest of us need to kind of observe the tendency. And then on this day in New Orleans, the tendency, it had just rained, it was slick, and the horses who could get out and get a good lead were winning all the races. Now, the 10th race was the exception because there were several horses who needed the lead, and it set up for a sustained horse. The rest of them were runs early. So the reason the 10th race is in here is to show you how you could have won the late double. The object of the 11th race, which we will now do, is on page 4. Picture yourself in the fairgrounds of New Orleans now. It is the 11th race. For two straight years, we have won the trifecta, or triple, as they call it. Got them 1, 2, 3 in this race, and we wanted to keep this legend alive because last time they did it, they had to send out for money for Purdy. Well, Purdy had to send out money early. He left and didn't do this race, but they were sending out for money. Little old Spencer here wrote about it in the follow-up. Spencer has a way of interviewing everybody. He's not satisfied. He wants to go up and ask, and he found out how much money they had to send out for. Before Spencer, you think you were skeptical, Mr. Cameron? Before Spencer joined this group, he went around and looked at every one of our houses to see what lifestyle we had. He did. Sneaked around and looked at our house. My dog bit him. Here's your object now. This is a trifecta race, so we want to narrow it down to 5 horses initially who can win, place, or show. Now, I've found this is one heck of a way to get your contenders down. Don't worry about who's going to win or who's going to come in where. Just find the horses that have a chance to win, place, and show. Then we're going to get it down to 4 horses. Are you ready? And Shane, get your little handheld there, because there are going to be some questions from the audience. So Shane will roam among you as you raise your hand. Don't talk until Shane can get it, because we want Joe to be able to pick this up on the tapes. Okay, let's start with horse number 1. Is horse number 1, Mr. Fancy Bob, a contender or is it not?
No.
Why is it not?
Those are going to run about 45 and 2 today, Howard.
Well, okay, that's. I want to hear all this. See if you can get it as much on the microphone as you can. Let me ask you this. Is Timing Right a contender? If Timing Right is a contender, why is Mr. Fancy Bob not a contender? They ran in a tandem two races ago. Now, he may not always be a contender, but initially looking at him, if you're going to make Timing Right a contender, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm not trying to bully you here. If you say he's not a contender, he's not a contender, but why are you going to live with this for the rest of your life? Huh? Okay. He's not a contender. Everybody says he's not a contender. Okay, he's initially a contender, and if we can throw him out later, we will. He's an iffy contender. Can we agree on that? And I want everybody to Mr. Fancy Bob, we're talking. He's not a contender to you, which is fine with me. But will you always make this decision in every race you ever do if you see this situation? But in this case, even though he just ran a tandem with a horse that you say is a contender. Okay. Then we have a consensus which is not a consensus. We have no, he is not a contender. He's initially a contender for maybe, and yes, he is. That's good. The track condition is slick and fast. I mean, they're running good. It's slick. It's been raining, but out down there they have so much rain it drains off into the graveyards and things. Okay, now Timing is Right. We have agreed that's a contender, right? Any questions? The date of the race is last March. It's in that area. It's about a week after this 22nd or something, 23rd of March, right in there somewhere, 1992.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Surely.
I didn't get in about the last horse, but I fall into this trap all the time, and that is with Mr. Fancy Bob, after a layoff, he usually runs well first time back. And the next layoff he has, he runs second, and then he backs up as he shows he ran a very poor race. Is this a typical form cycle you can zero in on a horse, especially as they get older?
I think it's a very pertinent observation you've made, and we do throw him out later on based on the tandem, and that's a very pertinent observation. His pluses and O's, as you've noticed, are layoff, good race, bad race, layoff, good race, and that's a very good observation, a very good reason to ultimately throw him out, despite the tendency to throw him out was running
just the tandem horses, he and timing right, and see which one fit today's profile best.
Is that typical of horses as they get older?
That's typical of horses, period.
It doesn't matter what age group they are.
No. Okay. Howard has this pluses and nos and pluses within and all that he did. Were you here for the beginner session? And he has been able to fathom a rhythm of the horses in their form cycle, and what you have observed will help you greatly because it's a very wise observation. Okay, we're going to allow timing right because his last race was that tandem race in which he was virtually the same as Mr. Fancy Bob, but you run them together and timing right is the preferable horse. So we have now, for all intents and purposes, have only one contender so far, timing right. What about Black Lake Schnapp? Okay, I agree with you. Not only that, the October 1991 was his last decent race. I'm not a stickler for recency, but I think that's a little ridiculous. So we got rid of him. How about Lyndhurst Field? Okay, I'm going to come back to this. You all say no?
No.
Aha, good. Remember, we're looking for the horses who can win, place, and show. Don't be looking. Here's what the guys did at the fairgrounds when I asked them to do this. Let's get the trifecta, guys. They all made a case for, this horse can't win. Oh, no, this horse can't win. And they were all thinking win. And I said, don't think win. Give me the three horses most likely win, place, and show. And everybody said no to Lyndhurst Bob. Now, think about it. Lyndhurst Field. Now, somebody who understands counter energy, tell me why he must be a contender. Okay, someone just give me, Howard, you got a microphone you can put on one of these? I want the counter energy reason for putting him in. I think you have it. Well, there's a good reason. He's a high class horse. And here's where you people who don't put in your APV in class are going to throw this horse out. This is your high-class horse in this race. He has a phenomenal APV. For those of you who don't understand counter-energy, listen carefully. When you are looking for first place and second place and third place, what surface condition most resembles the turf? A slick, wet track most resembles the turf. We are looking not just for the winner here. We want the second and third place horse. You need to have... What did I say was winning all the races except for one? Early. When an early horse is winning, what is the in-the-money horse most likely to be running?
Sustained.
Everybody who's new here, hear these answers because they're very important to you. They'll give you a step up. Okay, we're looking for a counter-energy horse, a sustained horse. How, for you who are veterans of the methodology, how do 5 and 5.5 furlong races always run, energy-wise? Sustained, right. See how smart you are? We'll go to your seminar next time. Here's a horse, and he's got that 89 speed rating. Remember what Howard said? Okay, Shane, I mean. His real name is Howard, but we had to call him something. Dick Schmidt made fun of him being called Howard. Opelosa's Gold. You'd have, boy, if you put that horse in, you really got problems. Now here's a tricky one. Here's a tricky one. Now you might put him in. You might say, yeah, initially he's got to be a contender. But what about Old Man Sue? Do you see anything about this horse that? Well, that's not always bad, but what else about it? What else about this horse? He had one decent race. Right? His class is nowhere near. Yes, sir. Right. His greatest moment in his life was, or its life. Well, and it's a 4-year-old maiden, just broke its maiden, and a maiden $15,000 claim, which is going in against winners today. And just relative to the track, we had to make a decision. Our decision was the class factor. Now, if you didn't see maiden $15,000, if you didn't see the fact that he has one speed rating over 80, the rest are in the 60s and 70s, he's not a, doesn't show me enough
that I'm going to worry about. If I lose, but that horse beats me out of my trifecta, I'll lose. Does anybody not agree with this? Because this is a very... Now, you don't want to say I'm going to throw out every horse that just broke its maiden. We're not saying that. But this horse broke its maiden. Do it with SAPV. Look at its past performances. If you put him in, I will tell you in advance that you won't get him. Yes, sir.
He's not running a real strong company here. He just broke his maiden. But there ain't another horse in the race that's anything but breaking his maiden.
Well... They're all, it's for non-winners of two races, you're right. But it just broke its maiden. You want to put him in your computer, you may. Here's a horse that we left in, who just ran 111-1, beaten a length and a quarter. This horse won at 112-1. That's five lengths. I mean, if you want to be conventional handicapper, there's five lengths difference between that horse and a horse that didn't win that we decided was a contender. So... How's he going to make up five lengths when he's never done it before? I mean, all these other speed ratings are much slower. Yes, sir. It's a good point, though. Hey, listen, say what you will. That's what makes these things good.
Just give me time to get there.
Hey. Okay, I'll tell you what, that's fine, but... Do you have a computer? If you put him in your computer program, you will not get him, because we tried. Because he's that much slower than a horse who didn't even win. So, yeah, I would say initially, if you want to make him a contender, put him in and let the computer tell you whether he belongs in the race or not. So, yeah, all those other determinations are guesses. The class, the maiden win... The Kenny today, and all those others are mainstream guesses that guys like Tom Brohammer can make like that and not think again about it. But the rest of us, sometimes we worry about it. So if you worry, put the damn horse in your computer. Don't leave somebody out and then wish you had put him in. How about Surf Boy? Well, I'm glad to see we can agree with that. Okay. How about Real Choo Choo? And why do you got to put him in?
Second race back
is where you put him in, but why do you have to put him in? What is that last race in the designation O plus within an O? What is it? Plus within an O, isn't it? Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Good. When you say something correct, say it loud. If you say something incorrect, say it very softly. That's right. He ran against the fastest pace of the race. He couldn't keep up with it, but he held it to the second call. This is the horse that wants desperately to take the lead. This is a day, which I said when we started this discussion, this is a day when horses who were able to get that second call lead went all the way except in one race. So that is a threat. Now, everybody at the racetrack, and a lot of them were more experienced than you, said... They got hung up on that one thing that I reminded them about. Howard, that horse can't win. He'll get headed. He can't go all the way. I said, don't worry about whether he can win or not. Is he going to be in the money factor? Well, and by the time I had to do the race, because they were arguing so much that nobody was going to get the trifecta if I didn't get to the window. Okay. Cole's been away for a while from Arlington Park, you might, you know, if he'd raced last week at Arlington Park and just shipped down here, you might say yes, but 20th of September of 90, we're in 92. Of course, you got to admit, he's rested. Navajo Smoke? Good. So you're not having much trouble with this. Romantic Rumor?
Yes, yes.
Well? Hey, it's an iffy thing. I can see the guy who says yes, take him off his last race, and even with the 8.5 lengths, he ran against a 110-3, and that he ran at one, what's 8.5 lengths from 110-3, 112, and no, we're dealing with horses that ran 111-1. Yeah. Yeah. If you put him in, you won't get him. Let's put it that way. Anybody think their computer would miraculously put this horse on?
Okay, you're all in agreement then.
Howard.
Yeah, we got to look at him, but
Howard,
when after looking, we go.
Howard?
Yes, sir.
Wait a second, Howard. Let me do it in... Okay, over here. How about this turn time? This was his turn time. He made up four lengths on the 45 and 2 of that other fast horse or whatever.
Yeah, he sure did, and then and that exhausted him, so he went on to...
Well, just for that factor, you would put him in to see his real...
Sure, you can put him in. Put him in, by all means, and you'd be the first one to throw him out after you put him in.
Okay.
Yes, he ran against good fractions, but let's look at his record. If somewhere along the line in this horse's entire life, it had made the effort to do something. If he wins, today's going to be the first time. This horse has never won showing. There's no wins showing. Except in his lifetime. Huh? Well, I mean, he's never been in the money, and I'm looking for a trifecta here. So there's another good point. I mean, you got to go with the flow, folks. Yes, sir.
Well, he just ran out of that race with that little choo-choo horse.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, it wasn't a tandem
Valley horse, and so the tandem thing's going to get rid of him.
Now, if anybody thinks that we're overriding you or bulldozing you, speak up. Yes, sir.
How do you think if being the third race back from a wreck?
We cannot handicap on what a horse might do. It might improve, I don't think. Maybe Brohammer can. But I've had people in seminars look at me and say, there's a horse beating 9 lengths. I think he's going to improve 3 lengths. I said, well, he's still going to lose by 6 then, isn't he? Oh, well. All this projected improvement that people see, I can't see it. Marion Jones can see it to a degree, but I don't think he can see that. Can you see that much improvement, Marion? You're an improvement seer. No, Marion can't see any improvement. Now, what about Pee Wee Valley? Yeah, Pee Wee Valley's the favorite. Pee Wee Valley's the obvious choice. Pee Wee Valley is the eyeball scan winner of the race. You don't have to worry about it. But that's the way it came out. So now we're pretty well agreed. Let's dim the lights. Who's in charge of lights? Now, anybody who can't see the screen. Let's put in the entry screen the lines we use and see if anybody has any objection to the lines we use. Okay, yes. Okay, in the initial entry screen, I put in Mr. F, timing real Pee Wee and Lynn. We have all thrown out Mr. F. Now, those are the lines I use. You see pretty obviously which lines I use. The second one back on Mr. Fancy. The last one on timing. The last two back on Real Choo Choo, which is the one you all chose. And the last race for Lynn, 5.5 on the turf. And Pee Wee, the same race you would have used, the last race, which is his best recent race. Now, we've decided we're going to scratch Mr. F. Had we gone through this entire process, which you'll see in the book you'll get later, we ran Mr. F and timing together, all by themselves in a tandem situation. I wonder if that's on there. It's on the disc. No, it's not on the disc. You will see it in the other manual. What I did was take the other three scratched and ran Mr. F and timing together against each other. And took the one that best fit the profile, which is the EXDC screen, and timing beat Mr. F in that tandem. When you only run them as a match, you get timing. No, that's all right. Timing wins the tandem, so Mr. F is out. When he hit the next button and then say, yes, no, I want to guess. You got to listen to what I say, since I wanted yes. I want to make the scratch. There you go. Yes. Yes. No, no, no. Everybody else, no. Now, we've already done there. Now, that's what we have left. Those are our... Everybody in agreement. These are our four contenders. Everybody in agreement that I use the most appropriate pace line. Yes, sir? You have a...
I can't call them out. The name of the horse.
Well, I... What... I'm sorry you can't see him, but you'll get the readout in your next manual.
Oh, okay. Pee-wee and,
We've got timing, reel, Pee-wee, and Lynn.
Okay. Okay.
Timing, we took out the last race, reel two back, Lynn one back, Pee-wee one back. So it's the pace line selection is there's no genius involved here. Incidentally, in all fairness to Bradshaw, I ran to him and said, Bradshaw, who in the hell are the contenders of this race? Who you got? And I had already picked what I had, and he agreed, and I agreed with him. So Bradshaw had him down to four horses right off the bat. And, of course, he bet him first, third, and fourth. You know, Bradshaw's got to keep his reputation for nothing. But he's getting better on the exacta. One of these days, we're going to bring him up here, and he's going to tell you how to get exactas. Because right now he's getting some first, third, and fourth, or first and third. He didn't think too much of Lynn, the place horse. He said, that was an ugly horse. Okay, next screen. Now notice. Jimmy's going to demonstrate to use the automatic projector. This is how they run their energy. This, we were talking about yesterday. I know that a lot of our people like the visual ESP. What this really tells you, you have, what did Bruce talk about? What did Glenn Connolly talk about? What has everybody talked about? A lone early energy yielding horse in a group where everybody else is other. So there's your lone early horse. Okay, there is your lone sustained. There's your most likely place or show, depending on where the counter energies come from. You got to have the counter energy if you're playing more than just win. So that's how they exert their energy. Next screen. Now, this does not appear. So many people using Thurimation say, well, which adjustment should I use? This will not appear unless the two adjustment is called for. Why do we have a two adjustment in this race? You got different distances, you got different surfaces, you got different variants. Producing a total energy differential of more than two. And then, after you read that, don't just suddenly hit the two button. Read this. Make sure the horse is a true contender before using the alternate adjustment. And we already did that. We spent the last 20 minutes making sure it was a true contender, did we not? So we're sure, aren't we? Let's hear it. Are we sure? All right, then we'll use a two adjustment, right? Hit the two button when you get to it. Right there, hit two. All right, bang. Hit the six. Hit the six again. What did you do, Spencer? Is this the one where you entered him wrong and you didn't correct it? This is the one where you entered him wrong. Well, there's your designated place. This is the one where you put in 8.5 lengths instead of what it was really beaten by. Let's look at the entry screen again.
Okay, let me go on my computer here.
Let me see the entry screen. We can tell you right away. Keep hitting the screen. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's got 8.5 and it's been 6.5. And that was the whole problem to correct it. We did. Let's put it in right. Lynn's got to go in right. Yeah, get Lynn back up there. Okay, Mr. Cameron, I'm glad you... He put in 8.5. It's supposed to be 6.5 or whatever it is. You put in... Okay, Lynn. Put in Lynn again. Read it out. 5.5. These are right.